liberty, revelation, are found in the written word. As regards the things of the Spirit, we're taught, and we'll have the practice of it, the tangibility of it, in all sections. We're ready to flow. We're ready to flow. We're ready to move in the direction of the things of the Spirit. And we'll receive all that there is to receive in this meeting. We'll receive encounters, ceaseless encounters, in progressive manner. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. 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 Matthew 28. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and in the earth. Go therefore and make disciples of every nation, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the ends of the age. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Even unto the ends of the age. Amen. So, we say this is Jesus' instruction, right? Right? Jesus is giving an instruction for them to make disciples. And over the years, glory to God, over the years, I'm going to bring things together in this series that I've been saying for a while. Over the years, I've taught you that that instruction are instructions of Scripture, right? Scripture, the instructions of the 39 books. And what did he say? He said, make disciples. Now, what's what he said again? He said, teaching them. Now, so that means disciples should be taught to observe, right? All what I've commanded you. So, disciples are taught to observe. So, he said, in the local church, what is key is observing. You must learn to observe. Observe what I've commanded you. He said, and lo, I am with you always. Observe. That means observation is key. And in recent times, we'll be looking at what should I observe? I will just take this, not as I used to say. So what should I observe concerning the Old Testament book? What should I observe concerning the Old Testament? And we said, observe the fact that it is called Scripture. Observe the fact that it is called Scripture. Scripture. It is called Scripture. 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 16. 2 Timothy 3:16. It says, all Scripture. Hallelujah. First of all, in verse 16, it said, from a child you've known the Holy Scripture. Holy Spirit. So it's called Holy. You get me? It's called Holy Scripture. And we're going to see why it's called Holy. It's called Holy because in verse 16, it now says, all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. So it's called Holy, sacred. Now, what is called sacred is what God does. What God does is called sacred. Amen. It's called sacred. So it's called sacred Scripture because it's given by the inspiration of God. Scripture. So it's called Scripture. Hallelujah. The 39 book is called what? Scriptures given by the inspiration of God. Hallelujah. In John 5:39, Jesus will tell his audience, will say, search the Scripture. You search the Scriptures. He said, for in them you think you have eternal life. He says, you search the Scriptures. Hallelujah. You search the Scriptures. In them you think you have eternal life. He said, these are they that testify of me. Hallelujah. I don't think any worker should miss this meeting. Amen. I don't think you should. Hallelujah. Any and all pastors, ensure that your members are attending this meeting. Especially those, if I'm attending all meetings from now, the end of the year, no matter the cost, it will take them to get to that. Hallelujah. That's John 5:39. It says, search the Scriptures. What does it refer to Scriptures as? The 39 books. So the 39 books are called Scriptures. Hallelujah. They are called what? Scriptures. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. They are called the Law and the Prophets. In Luke 24, from verses 25, Jesus met two of his guys on their way to Emmaus, and he said to them, O fool, and slow of heart to believe, in all the prophets have spoken. He said, love the Christ, to suffer these things, and to enter into his glory. And now it says, beginning at Moses and all the prophets. So it is called Moses and the prophets. Beginning at Moses and all the prophets. He expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So it's called Moses and the prophets. Amen. Verse 44, he said, these are the words I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled in the law of Moses, right? In the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. And in the Psalms concerning me. So it's called law and prophets. What about your enemy? Law and prophets. So the word law there, listen, law there is not referring to 10 commandments as I told you. It's referring to Moses' 5 books. It's called the law of Moses. You see that? Moses' 5 books is called the law. And the prophets. What about your enemy? Amen. Moses' 5 books is called the law. Hallelujah. For the law. Acts of Apostles, chapter 28. What is recorded? Verses 23. How Peter recorded how Paul taught. He says, and when they had appointed him a day, they came many unto him into his lodge, which is Paul, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophet, for money to live in. Law of Moses, the prophet. Did you see that? Law of Moses and the prophet. So it's called Law of Moses, Genesis, and so he carries it down to Deuteronomy, prophet, from Joshua to Malachi. Hope you are following that. So they are referred to as scriptures. Law of Moses and the prophet. Hope you are following that. They're referred to that. To them as that. Hallelujah. Amen. Many times, that's Law of Moses. What is called Law of Moses? Let me see if I can get something out now. Hallelujah. Just a few minutes. Okay. Don't worry. Okay. Okay, let's go ahead. Now, so Law of Moses, in reference to books, refers to Genesis down to Deuteronomy, right? So that's Law of Moses, which is Moses' first 5 books, or not, it doesn't have second books, but the first 5 books of the scripture, which is written by Moses, right? Right? It's usually called beginning, the beginning of writing. Moses is usually called the beginning of writing. Why is Moses called so? Look at what Jesus will say. He said, beginning at Moses. Watch that order. Beginning at Moses. Now, use that word, ake musao, in the Greek. Ake musao. Beginning from Moses. Ake there is the word for model. For a model. Beginning. For a model. Amen. The stuff that shows a pattern. That shows like a pattern, yeah. Amen. Beginning. Is that Moses? We can also have the word the proton. Just how do they call it? Like when you have the word a proton, a prototype. Hallelujah. Amen. So okay, beginning, model. Right? Begin at Moses. Now, when you use the word begin at Moses, so Moses writing is usually called beginning. Many times also called Genesis, the beginning, the Genesis. Or it's called foundation. That's why it's called model. It's called model because it is the beginning. It's the model. Jesus calls it Moses, the model of writing the scripture, beginning at Moses. Hallelujah. Begin at Moses. Now, you discover that all who explain scriptures will always get back to Moses. Amen. In fact, put it this way. I want you guys to have it this way. Latter interpreters of Moses, right? Latter interpreters of Moses will always refer to Moses. Not just the New Testament writers now. Latter interpreters of Moses, latter authors. Let me put that. Latter authors and interpreters, right? Right? And speakers from Moses. And speakers, right? will, or teachers will always teach from Moses, which includes Jesus Christ. Jesus will always go back to Moses. Go back to Moses. Many times I told you, sometimes you might not even hear them mention Moses in the picture. Right? But when you look at what they are saying, you will find the echoes of Moses. I told us that. Right? For example, look at the word baptism. Where did John get the word baptism from? Right? Right? You will find baptism. Why I brought that up? Because I've heard some people argue that rubbish. Amen. And it's not worth arguing. Glory to God. Over the years, I've seen that it's not worth arguing. Glory to God. Now, the reason why they don't do baptism is they try to force it from John. Do you get me? Glory to God. Amen. But John, what John has done was to have an echo of Moses in his writing. Where? I mean, in what he was saying. Why did he go to Jonah? That's the echo of Genesis down to Malachi. Or put the Genesis down to Deuteronomy. You have seen something in Genesis that happened again in Exodus. Hallelujah. And it still happened again in Joshua. Happened again in 2 Kings. Did you see that? Right? A recurring pattern. Something I didn't say was about Jonah, but I didn't want to get to Jonah. But that looks a bit dicey. But something recurring. Glory to God. Something recurring. Glory to God. Glory to God. So you have seen it. So in their writings, you will find the echoes of Moses. Echoes of Moses. Glory to God. So that means Moses is a figure or a character in scripture that you cannot throw away. You can't throw away Moses in scripture, in writing, in scripture. In fact, Matthew 1:1, it says the book of the generation goes again to Genesis and is referring to Moses' account. Mark 1, the beginning of the gospel. We're talking about the gospel, it goes to Genesis. Did you see that? Amen. In John 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Genesis again. You see that echoes of Genesis. In Romans, it says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus. Amen. Paul. It says, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, is a call to be an apostle separated unto the gospel of God, which he promised aforetime. When you use the word aforetime, he takes you back again. Hallelujah. He takes you back again to scriptures. Importantly, Genesis. It says, in the prophet in the Holy Spirit, concerning his son, the Lord Jesus, which is made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the son of God with the power according to the spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we have the word aforetime in scriptures. The mind goes again to the 39 books. Genesis also will be the background. To have the echoes of Moses. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So you can't take that away. You get to in the book of Acts. Acts. You go through to Acts. Glory to God. In Acts of Apostles chapter 2, verse 16. It says, but that which Jesus that we spoke about the prophet Joel, say, it shall come to pass in the last days, said Lord, I'll pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Now, yeah, it looked as if he's reading Joel, but when we get to Joel, we saw that Joel, the use of the word last days is actually echoes of Moses, right? The seventh day is actually the echoes of Moses. Amen. Echoes of Moses that Joel echoed and Peter is echoing it. In fact, when you go further, you will see he made mention of Moses. Hallelujah. Amen. In chapter 3 also, you find Moses. That means you can't take Moses away from interpretation. You can't take Moses away from scripture. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And what he wrote. Therefore, a key personality. Looks as if I'm doing a justification for Moses here. Amen. Glory to God. I think I'm doing justification for Moses. Are you sure this spirit is not, are you sure you're not starting the law of Moses? No, I'm not. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Moses becomes a character in scripture you cannot speak out. Amen. This tells you a whole lot about Moses. A character in scripture that you might not, you shouldn't speak out. No. Glory to God. Glory to God. So let's continue. Okay. That means, like I said, talking, I've even left my notes back. Amen. That's what the teaching is about. So, we have to study Moses very well, right? He says he's echoed in everybody's speech. His Moses is echoed in everybody's speech. Okay, that means we have to study Moses very well. And take note, what they had, this was what they had in their explanation of God. God wasn't explained from any other book. Amen. God was explained from Moses. That means I write Moses off. I've written off all my explanation of God. So with God, that is, I can't write Moses off. I have to look at what Moses says. Physical. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. So why must it be Moses? Well, by God's providence, God has to use Moses. You see that? You can't do anything about it. God has chosen Moses. Glory to God. So you don't like Moses, you have to like him so that you know God. Amen. You have to just like Moses to know God. You know God. You know, sometimes, and it's good we understand that fact. Right? It's good we understand that, but we must have to appreciate what Moses has done. Have to. Look at Moses critically. So therefore, we have to study, how did Moses write? Because Moses was writing about the oracles of God. If you read Exodus chapter 6, God will say to Moses, he said, he will bring them out. So sorry, Exodus 3. Let's look at Exodus 3 first, verse 9. Exodus 3. I believe. Verse 3, are you there? This is a trailer. Let's do this. Okay, I want to read. I don't want to take you too far. Look up on verses 9. It says, now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, and I have seen also the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppress them. Come now, therefore, and I'll send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And Moses said unto God, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh? Now look at verses 14. Verses 12. And he said, certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, they shall serve me upon this mountain. Did you see that? So God was to bring them out of Egypt to serve. Is that? right? You were brought out to serve. Serve the Lord. Now, serve the Lord for their stomach sickness. Serve the Lord, right? In all the nations of the world, right? Now, listen. So, they were coming out to serve. And when they came out with Moses, Moses began to teach them about the oracles of God. That's what Moses wrote down. He taught them, was what spoken, then was written. I love how Pastor Shego would say, my pastor would say, reading from Reverend McHankey. He said, it was all of us spoken, then written to be said. It was all of us said. Scripture was all of us said, then written, so that it can be said. You see that? Amen. So, he taught them, wrote it down, so that we can say it. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Glory to God. So Moses will now teach them the oracles of God. In seeing that God wants them to serve him, Moses will teach them. Because when you know the Lord, the oracles of God, you serve him well. You are effective in your service to the Lord. So Moses will teach them. So the question will now be, how then will Moses then write to them? How did he write? What was the mode of communication, the mode of writing in their world? Now, in Psalm 78, as we always have seen, but let's get back to Psalm 78, verses 1. It says, give ear, O my people, to the law, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. When you say, give ear to my law, it's referring to where? Scripture, right? Genesis down to Malachi. Joshua said, this book of the law, referring to Genesis down to Deuteronomy, right? The same thing again is called the law of Moses. Hope you're following me. Amen. Amen. He said, incline your ears to my word, the word of my mouth. I open my mouth in a parable and I'll utter dark things of old. Of old will be Genesis down to what? To Deuteronomy. Hope you're seeing that. The Genesis down to Deuteronomy. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. So if it were me that I'm to do the structure, you know, today we're structured scriptures to Old Testament and New Testament. Me, I will do three compartments. Moses alone, then the prophet, then other interpreter. If I have to do that separation. Amen. Amen. I'm telling you the truth, because Moses stands alone there. That is the model. This is the Psalms that I is writing for Moses. Right? So he said, I open my mouth in parables. I'll order dark sayings of old. Dark sayings of old, Genesis and to Malachi. It shows you how scriptures were written. Now, he now says in verse 3, he said, we do know that our father have told us, we will not hide them for their children. So, it shows you a pattern of how scriptures was written. Parables, right? Dark sayings. Right? So that means we'll have figurative expression. We'll have rhetorics, riddles. Just gives you that background, right? Parables, where you have the word Shida, a word used for riddles. You have riddles. Hallelujah. Amen. But I'm going to say something here. Not to counter what I've said to you before, but I'm going to give you a layer to something. Now, you know, I've always told you that you always watch out for symbols. Right? I don't speak to symbols. Right? Now, people, some persons can take that further. I'm not saying you in church. Yeah? Some persons can take that further. So now say, everything is symbol. They wrote in parables. So everything you see is parable. No. That would be wrong. You see that? Everything is not parable. Everything is not symbol. Hallelujah. Everything is not symbolic. We've now reduced, some people have now reduced everything in the Old Testament books to symbols. I'll give you examples of that. Amen. Amen. Remember I told you, for example, I told you animals were used to describe different kinds of men and their behavioral patterns, right? In Genesis chapter 49, right? Genesis was, now I'm trying my best to give you an intro into some things you see. So I want to actually take your minds away from some things that hitherto some people might have gotten themselves fixated on it. Amen. For some other things we're going to see. Genesis 49.
Now, Jacob called his sons, right? And he said, he wants to tell them the things that will be in the last days. In Genesis, we are seeing last days in Genesis. And I think last flight is tomorrow. Last days in Genesis. The last days. So that means you have to understand the concept of last days, right? Right? Last days is used for the fullness of time. Glory to God. Fullness of time. So these things will be. Right? So he says, Reuben, I am my firstborn. Now look at how he tells them about things. And then he spoke concerning Judah. He calls Judah in verse 8. He said, thou art whom? I mean, thou art he whom thy brethren shall praise. Thy hand shall be in the neck of the enemy. Thy father's children shall bow down before Judah is a lion's whelp. He calls Judah a lion. Right? Yet the scepter shall not depart from Judah. That's verse 10. Nor lawgiver from his feet. Now, he's speaking that means Judah, kingship will come from Judah. I've told you that. Right? Right? Ever before they ever thought of having a king, Jacob spoke that into being. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. He also called one of his sons Dan. He called him a snake, a serpent. In verse 7, he said, Dan shall be a serpent by the way, an adder by the path that biteth the horse's heel. Right? He called his son a serpent. He called Benjamin, not Benjiel, called Benjamin a wolf. Amen. A wolf. So, verse 7 says, Benjamin shall raven as a wolf. So, it used to describe the ability or a person, right? It used to describe them. So, we said, animals, several times, I used to describe the several different kinds of men. Hallelujah. Right? Different kinds of men. Jesus will say, you tread upon snakes and scorpions over all the works of the enemy. Isn't that? So animals too, I used to describe the works of the enemy. Will they be found true men and their attitude to when scriptures are taught? Yes. But say you tread upon them. Hallelujah. You tread upon them how? In the preaching of the gospel. Hallelujah. Hope you're following me. Hope you're following me. Hallelujah. On the road to evangelism, you tread upon them. So that means you tread upon them, might be you. If you come in different form, but in that road to preaching the gospel, you tread upon snakes and stuff. That's what he says. Hallelujah. Let's not move it. Let me not go further and then deviate from what I'm teaching. Hallelujah. So that means, in a way, it deals with men, also calls it the works of the enemy. Right? Calls it the works of the enemy. Very vital. So he used to describe different kinds of men. Right? Right? Hallelujah. He's also used to describe supernatural beings, like we've seen. Works of the enemy. Supernatural beings. In Genesis 3, the serpent that appeared to the woman, right, that had a conversation with the woman, is used to describe a supernatural being. Right? He's used to describe a supernatural being. That had a conversation with the woman. Now, that doesn't mean everywhere you find serpent. Because serpent in Genesis 3 is used as to explain a supernatural being. Right? It does not mean that everywhere you find serpent is used to explain a supernatural being. Are you following me? No. No. Because in Numbers 21, from verse 6 to 10, it was a literal serpent that beat them. It was not figurative. You can see I'm driving at. Because you've heard animals are used figuratively, doesn't mean everywhere you find animals is figure of speech. No. Some people can just zero in on that. No. The serpent that beat them was not symbolic. They had real epidemic. Hope you are with me. They had a real time epidemic. And they were beating of serpents. Okay, amen. Then Moses now made a brazen serpent. Now the brazen serpent that Moses made, was it symbolic? Was it a figure of speech? The question to church, it's school now, we are in school. Was it symbolic? Okay, let me put it. Was it figurative?
Again, no. Nah, nobody wants to answer straight. Is it symbolic or is it figurative? Let me know you the word symbolic. Is it figurative? Figurative of what? Okay, symbolic. Okay, symbolic of what? Light overcome darkness. Okay. So Moses did it symbolically. Is that what you are saying? Right? Is that what you are saying? Which message was he passing? Okay, what happened? Whoa. Was that what Moses was saying? Can you see how we have now somewhere in our mind? We might not want to say it. We somewhere in our mind put everything figurative. What are you hearing? There was an epidemic. Literally, there was an epidemic. What are you hearing? And God said to Moses, put the brazen serpent. So he took the brazen serpent and put it on a pole in their world, I told you. In their world. Now, like I said to you, I'm giving you another layer of it, another layer of meaning. Glory to God. Right? I'm trying to make you see in a broader view. Hope you're following me. That's like the school. I'm not saying the way you've seen it before is wrong. No, it is school. Now, he carries and put in their world. I've told you. Look at their cultural context. In their world, what is the pole used for? Pole is used to show you that pole, when you hang foot on the pole, is used for judgment. Right? It's used for judgment. It's used for judgment concerning something, right? Judgment at the past. Now when Moses put that pole, Moses does not have Jesus in mind. Hope you're hearing me. You know, somewhere in your mind, somewhere, you think Moses was sent to figuratively talk about in Jesus' time, right? There will be judgment for the serpent, right? Right? Now, read it as though there is no New Testament book where you read, you know, sometimes the problem is you read the key points first. Jesus, so as though there is no New Testament book. So you are in Moses' audience, sit in the seat of Moses' audience. Your mind is fixated on Jesus. Do you know who is Jesus? Did you see that? Hope you're with me. Right? But they are saying, I mean, what Moses is saying is, when you look, let's look at that very well. Look at Numbers. There's something I need to see. Numbers 21. Okay, stop there. Look at verses 10. Now, verse 9, sorry. It says, and Moses made a serpent of brass and put it upon a pole. And it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. What is it? He lived. Stop. So, what Moses has done with that serpent of brass is to make you see, right, that God, Look up. I told you. Okay. I think I'll bring this part up later. Okay, let me ask you. Was Jesus No. Let me take that back. Okay. You know, sometimes you can be hesitant to say what you're supposed to say at the last, at the beginning, and then you mess up things. Yes, let's not mess it up. Let's take it puku a puku. Amen. Let's take it puku a puku, step by step. Now, that is judgment, right? Right? So he puts it on the pole to show that there is judgment has been passed on the serpent. Not judgment will be passed on the serpent.
Did that. So the moment they saw it on the pole, it's a figurative expression, not for the future, but for what is happening to them. Now, he's trying to use that to show them God has passed judgment on the serpent. Now, as many as now that is beaten of the serpent, that looks up to see what? Looks up to say, we look up to see Jesus. No, they're not looking up to see Jesus. Who has passed judgment on the serpent? Let somebody answer me. Who has passed judgment on the serpent? God. Who has passed judgment on the serpent? God. Yahweh Yasha. Right? Yahweh Yasha. Is that Jesus too? Right? So who passed the judgment? It's not Jesus. Was it a promise of the Old Testament books or a reality that they had? I told you that Jesus is a reality within the Old Testament book, but not visible. I mean, not in the flesh. Right? Right? So that means he was there all along. Right? Right? Okay, so who passed the judgment? Was it he? So when they look at that, they will see judgment. So in their world, they know, oh, there's already a judgment for this thing. Therefore, they go, oh, I believe there's a judgment. And they are healed. Did you see that? So they were not looking up to look for Jesus. No. Because they don't even know Jesus. When I mean, they don't know Jesus. They let's put it down. You understand what I mean? He was not come in the flesh. Amen. Amen. You understand that now, right? He was not in the flesh. Did you get that? Did you get that? So, Moses was not writing for Jesus to come and fulfill it. He's writing for them to see that judgment has already been done against the serpent. And they were healed. Now, he wrote that, and they lived because they were dying. So what did Jesus now, why did Jesus now related, now how did Jesus then get back here in John chapter 3? Let's get to John 3, let's see what Jesus said, and what was around what Jesus, or what was the context of why Jesus would now say this. John 3, get back to John 3. Verse 13. Now, what was the context? The context was about eternal life. Right? Right? So who is Nicodemus? Hope I follow me. The context was about eternal life. Except the man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Except the man be born of water and of flesh, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Marvel not that I said to you, must be born again. I'm jumping it, if you know what I'm doing. He said, Marvel not that I'm born again. He said, the wind blows, where it leads, and hear the sound thereof, but can't tell where it comes or where it goes. So is he that is born of the Spirit. Right? Of the Spirit. So he now goes again, he now says in verses, so he said, if I told you earthly things, and yet believe not, how will I tell, how shall ye believe if I tell you heavenly things? No man has appeared to the Father, but he that cometh from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Stop. So what is he saying to him? Is it that? What is he saying to him? Now, what is happening to them? What's the state of Moses' audience first? Okay. Did you see that? They were dying. They were in need of help. Watch it. They were in need of help. Dying. Now, who is this? Nicodemus, in verse 12, he says, if I told you heavenly things and you believe not. I mean, earthly things and you believe not. Now, stop. In chapter 2, Jesus was in the marriage at Cana. Before you get to chapter 3, he was in the marriage at Cana. And what did he say? He says, man is without the Spirit. Did you see that? So man is in need of help. Just like who? The children of Israel. They needed help. Right? Come on, are you with me? So, what is Jesus doing? Jesus is situating, or you call it, what you call it, identification unifier. He's unifying two worlds together. Right? This is what I've come to do. Man is blinded. You see that? So, that's it. Just as Moses lifted up that serpent in the wilderness to show judgment for serpent. So, in listen, and they that look, lead. Now, what are the watchwords there? They lead. eternal life, right? Right? So Jesus by hindsight is calling the elite, chaye, come back alive. Did you see that? Right? So Jesus is saying the same way too, when the Son of Man is lifted up, right, men will also see what has happened to this serpent. Genesis chapter number 3 also is coming to the pictures. Echoes of Moses. Right? To see that there will also be judgment for the serpent. And as many as look, how would they look? Believe will come back alive. Did you understand that? Do you understand what I've done now? Right? Do you understand what I've done? This is like saying, Jesus, look at this. Jesus is interpreting or applying Moses to his word. What is this? He has applied what Moses has said to his word. So, to apply it, he has situated his audience and the audience of Moses in the same place. What do they have in common? Unbelief, and they are dying. In need of healing, in need of healing. There's a supernatural healing, right? Right? So, what did Moses do? He offered up the brazen serpent to see judgment for the brazen serpent. For the serpent that beat them. So Jesus is saying, as the Son of Man to be lifted up to die, you will find the death of the serpent dead. Sent to sin. Did you see that? But when Moses was writing that, he was writing it literal for them to see that the serpent, judgment had been passed on the serpent. You understand that? You understand that? You understand that? My father will call it, you will see like a conversation between Moses, other writers, other interpreters, and then you see like a conversation amongst each writer. This person has said something, someone else comes up years after, picks up the same interaction, says something, and that person replies who said this to say this. This is that, so it's like a conversation you have around the Bible. Hallelujah. Hope you're following that. Hope you're following me. Hallelujah. That's very vital. Very vital. I spent more time here. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Did you get that? I pause. Ask me a question. Find a class. I have a question about, if I have a question about what I've said, so far, ask me. Have any questions? No. You have any questions? Okay, let me hear your question. The other one. Wait. It's a class. So, I told you, it's going to take a different dimension.
Okay. You said judgment for the serpents, right? Okay, and they got healed. So, I didn't even get that part. They got healed. Like, on what is it now, judgment for the serpent. They now got healed. They got healed because judgment for the serpent. Like, I didn't really get that.
That's why it's God. That's why it's God.
Okay, they believe that
God has passed judgment on the serpent.
Okay, so if God should pass judgment, okay, now, literal serpent now.
Yes, that on that serpent, yes.
Okay, God has passed judgment to them.
Yes.
So they believe that, okay, God has given them judgment. But what about the healing that happened?
It happened instantaneously. They leave. And that's why it's called miracle. Yes? You get that? That's called miracle. You just got healed. Any other questions? I want to make sure we follow through. That's why I'm asking the question along so that I don't gather it together. Yes?
Still a further question. You continue to ask. Can we say the healing? Just like you have taught us in previous teachings, that the healing is a pointer to salvation. Based on what? You know, based on their belief.
Okay. Well, healing is always a symbol of what God is in God's salvation. Always that. In scripture. Yeah. We can always say that, but at the same time too, you can say that as an interpretation, but the way he is literally said. Just leave the point of it. You know, most times we usually get too fixated on interpretation. Understand the fact that they were healed. And that means his healing was miraculous. You get that? Miraculous. Understand that first. Don't point anything first. God has healed them. Because he just delivered them. You get it? So he healed them.
Awesome. Thank you, sir.
Yeah. So for example now, you don't get healed today. God heals you today. You are sick and the Lord heals you. And I'm saying, is that healing that God healed you a pointer to something? He has healed you. It's all about faith as that says. Don't get it. Oh, what does it point to? No, he has healed you. He didn't heal you, he healed you. Do you get that? Amen.
Yeah.
Do you have a question? Okay, let me ask the question.
So is the judgment for the serpent, you said it's not figurative. So when Jesus now used that word,
Jesus is using it based on hindsight and is giving an application to his word.
Okay, to his word by applying it as a figure or as
no. He makes you see is a comparison, makes you see two things. Right? As Moses did this, this is what will happen to the Son of Man. He will die, and in his death you find judgment to the serpent in Genesis 3. Did you see that? Now, here's the whole deal. God is God. When Moses was right, I need you to understand this. Moses, I love what my pastor said early last month. Right? I've heard him say it in December. But I love how I should love everything he said. Amen. But he said something. He said, well, don't always think, most of them will transfer omnipotence and omniscience and omnipresence to writers of scripture. We just have it somewhere. Right? That maybe Moses knew everything that will happen 4,000 years after. In one way, in a sense. No. Take note. Who is omnipresent, omnipotent? Who is omnipresent, omnipotent, omniscient? God is. Right? And by this God is, now, who does he use? A free man. He uses a free man. Who doesn't even know beyond today? If he's not beyond today, it will be God showing him. Right? Right? So, they wrote addressing, we're going to see that when we get to teaching on answering to this question in our world. They wrote addressing issues in their immediate world. They had an immediate audience. See, never forget that they had an immediate audience that they were addressing. Do you get me? Immediate audience that they were talking to. Right? So, we, by whatever, now put omnipresence on them. They think that they were writing some things in future. Right? But God is the one, by providence. Right? Right? He makes them right. Because he's the one that sees the most today. He makes them right. Right? But they were not writing consciously. Those. Hope you're following me. They're not consciously writing that most of them consciously writing that Jesus will come. Amen. Amen. He was writing something to his audience. But God knows that he is coming. Okay, following me. Okay, following me. The same way too, when you read Isaiah, we'll get there in the course of this teaching, where you hear Isaiah write and then Isaiah will now say things like, behold, a virgin will give birth to a son. Right? A virgin will conceive and give birth to a son. And you name it, and you call him Emmanuel. And you think, oh, he was prophesying about Jesus. It's not true. He was addressing something in his world. We'll get to that. Amen. In his world. But when Matthew writes about Jesus, right? Now, remember, his name Emmanuel means God with us. Now, it was supposed to be a pointer as a token to the king that God will be with them as they go into a battle. So to show you that God was with you, a virgin will give birth to a son in their world, as I was saying. Right? Right? And we'll call his name, and his name will be Emmanuel to show that God will be with them. The virgin was actually, the Emmanuel was actually his own son, as I asked him. Amen. Amen. So that was in his word. So Matthew now writing about Jesus' incarnation, listen, will now find that same identification unifier to make you see that Jesus is God. He goes to Isaiah where he sees that a virgin too gave birth to show that God is with them. It has happened again. Did you see that? What are following that? That happened again. What are following me? What are following me? Don't worry. If you have questions, just ask. This is, I will make sure I answer. So, we shouldn't transfer omission to God. I mean, I say to God, to the writers. If God has omission. So, God, by providence, makes them write things that Jesus will still fulfill. What are following me? But they were not the ones writing it for Jesus to fulfill. Glory to God. Glory to God. That's why we tell Moses, hey, you gave us the principle of baptism. Moses said, Iran, you. I didn't write about baptism at all. Right? But we find baptism in what he wrote, but not as a culture. What are you following that? What are you following that? Amen. Any other question? Okay. Okay. I know how to answer. I'll answer question now. Okay. I'll answer your question like my pastor will answer. Yeah.
Good evening, Pastor.
Amen.
Thank you for the teaching, sir.
Two more eventual message.
Okay, sir. So, are we saying that Moses and, of course, other writers of the Old Testament, taking aside Jesus, they didn't write about the future?
They were writing, first of all, to their audience, what is practicable within them.
Okay.
First.
So, they were not writing at all about the future.
Thank you. Question answer. They were not writing at all. Futuristic. Just something. They were answering with issues. There. But there were points where you find them, professor. I say I don't want. I let them just answer you straight as you ask. So that I don't leave my question. My answering you does not leave another question. Okay.
So, the serpent hung on the tree, was it a judgment to death?
It was a judgment to show that there is cure for the epidemic that killed them.
God has provided a cure. That's what it means.
And he says, God has provided a cure! See! The serpent is dead! And everybody turns to look. Who and who?
Simple.
Is that better now? Do you understand it like that? Amen. Okay. Just go ahead. Okay.
So, sir, it's a further question to what Pastor Garba asked.
Okay.
Seeing that these writers were first of all believers,
okay,
they believed in Yahweh, right? Mm. So that will inform what they were going to write. They believed, therefore they wrote.
Mm-hmm.
So, I want to ask, is there a measure of prediction in their writing? Just like Pastor Garba said, because
there was a measure of prediction in their writing, but not
their use of words.
They're not holy.
They were not intentional about their use of words.
They were not.
Okay.
I know where you want to go to. The use of the word logos. I have that waiting for you somewhere. But hey, question over. Let's get it out. There was a bit of it. Of tradition. Now, the same way too, you can't steal 100% here and say this is wrong. Right? You can't steal. That's why I say, me, I will take my time before I release this movie. You can't steal either side. But truth be told, they will make almost everything with this Christocentric new move. Christocentric. Now become, we run everything Christocentric. So now look at this, everything they wrote was Jesus. It was Jesus. No, calm down, Farabale. Calm down. It's not all. Let's even start from there. In fact, take your mind away from it first. He was writing to an audience first. And what he was writing to his audience will be related to them first. What are you hearing me? Imagine I'm coming, I'm talking to you about what will happen in 1345. Will you be here to see? So what would the information do to you? I repeat to them, you will have gone. You will have gone. We would have gone. And I went here to do 30 something. How? Would have gone. Everybody in this room would have been gone. No, sir, what about eternal life? Okay, I will have gone.
And then Sarah like, will continue this. Amen. Tell me, what are you doing in 30 minutes or something? For what? What are you doing in 30 minutes or something? Tell me, 30 minutes or something. I spent 900 and something years. Hear yourself. You would have become burden to the people on earth. So let's continue. Okay, let's continue. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. So it's a school, right? I just want to put some foundation to some things that we'll say. I have like a few minutes left. Okay. 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 Let's get back to our conversation. Like, I know that I'm going to ask questions here. So my book, I said, let's get back to our conversation. Okay. I really get back to our conversation. Okay. Before we get back to our conversation, maybe because I didn't say this part, that's why I wanted some people to ask that question they did. That what Jesus has done, right, is making you see that what Moses was writing wasn't directly about him. What Moses was doing wasn't writing about him to his audience at that point. But rather, when you read Moses' writings together and the prophet, it will conclude on what he has done. Did you see that? Or what he will do. Did you see that? Read Moses' writings together, you now go, oh, this is it. And why is it like that? It's God. God is your mission. God is the one that has seen ahead of Moses and made Moses to write today. You see that? Hallelujah. Let's get back to our matter. So, you cannot reduce everything to symbol. That's what I'm saying. You can't reduce everything to symbol. Even you, animals. You say animals, you just put, describe different kind of man. Right? You can't reduce it. That everywhere you find animal is talking about men. No. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. What about me? In Numbers 22, verse 18, just a chapter after, Balaam's donkey spoke out. It was not figurative. They know when the donkey spoke. It means the donkey speaks. The donkey spoke out. It was not figurative. Amen. The donkey was not a figure of speech. What are you following that? The donkey wasn't a figure of speech. The donkey spoke out, and it was literal. He spoke. Amen. Amen. Noah carried animals into the ark. The animals getting into the ark was not a figure. What about the figure? So you must not reduce everything to symbols. That's what I wanted to see. Don't reduce everything to his symbol. No, everything is symbol. No. A wrong way to see, if you don't appreciate how the Old Testament books are written, if you don't appreciate how the Old Testament are written, you won't really appreciate God. I'm telling you. You won't appreciate God. Because you can't know God outside the Old Testament books. You don't make it look as if the way we can conclude everything is figurative. Let me look as if the God of the Old Testament book is different from the God of the New Testament, even without saying it. No, it's not God. It's not God. Trying to now listen. If you understand the fact that the New Testament book, right, was too short enough to explain God. You understand that to now situate God and box God into one small box that you think. Look at the thousands of years Genesis down to Malachi took to write. Look at the amount of few tens of years, not up to 100 years that you have between Matthew down to Revelation. It's not up to 100 years. So you cannot situate a God that you have seen explain over thousands of years into a bottle of 100 years. What does that mean? So, without even saying it, So God said, no, it's the same God. But when it comes to some encounters that they have, let's have the encounter actually what? Did you see? Amen. If you can't find it in God, in Matthew chapter Revelation, then it's not God. Shut up! Who told you they didn't have that kind of experience? Who told you they didn't have the same similar experience? If you understand the act to experience, you will situate it with most of the experience they had within the Old Testament book. But we didn't even ask, you know, I said it during last believer's convention. I said we'll reduce that experience. Let me say, when he spoke about the rushing mighty wind, it means rushing while we are rejoicing. He just put everything symbolic. But they had an experience. Hallelujah. They had an experience. I'm not saying they had the wave, the run, the move. No. But they had an experience. Amen. They saw things. The cloven tongues out of fire. It means it is calm down. A parabole. Did they see something? They saw something. Amen. Amen. Sometimes we have such kind of experience, and then because we are not taught what those experiences really mean, we allow those experiences go. Hallelujah. And Peter said, don't quench the spirit fire. Don't quench it. Hallelujah. Sometimes we quench it because we don't know. We don't know. So we have allowed those experiences to go. Hallelujah. Glory to God. No, the days when we see angels are gone. Who told you that? Who told you that you can't have such kind of experiences today? Because we stopped saying it on the pulpit. So we are no longer open to them. Open to them. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We are open and ready for experiences. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Sometimes some people say the floor is figurative of salvation. I am reading it for... I'm not saying that how the New Testament writers not interpreted it to the world. And many times, Oleshego recently corrected something that we always will have in our New Testament where doing was interpreting. Now, you would think they were interpreting to their audience when they wrote. No, they were not interpreting. They had interpreted, right? And they are now applying it, most of the things that you see. So what I will call it is, they are interpreting and applying. If you understand it as an application, it will help you solve a lot of puzzles that you've had in your head. This is that. And not an interpretation. You know, if your interpretation is wrong, your application will be wrong. That means they've interpreted it well, now they're applying it to their audience. Amen. Amen. For example, listen. Okay. I'm not even okay. No, okay. Not a neighbor person. Okay, dawa dawa. No, dawa dawa. Okay, you know, this time you're always English. It says Lucas. You know dawa dawa. You know, how does Yoruba call it? Iru. Abi? No Iru. No, it smells. Now, if I now do an interpretation and I say, oh, Iru is used to make food good. Whereas Iru is Iru. Now you interpret Iru as what they put in food to give it taste. Right? Right? I've interpreted it. And I'll give you Maggi and say, take Maggi to make your food taste. What have I done? The Maggi is not the Iru or the local beans. Neither is the Maggi the Ote. Okay, I will make. Amen. But if I now reduce Ote Maggi, I mean, if I now say Maggi. I mean, so if I now say locals, no, don't use that locals there. It doesn't sound, it sounds too English. Iru is Maggi. Well, that sounds right. I've reduced that thing to this. But because
You don't know what he is. Like, he doesn't and call it locust gay. Right? Yeah? So, me giving him Maggie, say, oh, here's Maggie. It's an application. It's not interpretation. Interpretation is what? It's to make food sweet. That is interpretation. So, in your world, what makes food sweet? I give you Maggie. Did you see that? Did you get that? You understand it? So, many times people now say all they were doing was interpretation, forgetting the fact that they were applying something to their immediate audience. So, that has first of all been interpreted correctly. Because where would you, remember I told you, I said I'm going to bring us a lot of things. I told you interpretation must be done where? Is it in the interpreter's world or in the author's world? Where? In the author's world. You must do the interpretation. You interpret it in the author's world. So what do you do to your world? In your world, you apply it. Now, if Jesus says, even as I want to now go back to the serpent, even so shall the Son of Man be lifted up. Is that an application or an interpretation? It's definitely not an interpretation. Because he has interpreted it to them to see that they got healed. So now he's applying it to them. So his own word, that was, what is healing to them? You'll be made well. You are in darkness, light is coming. Solution. What did they need there? They needed a solution to a problem. Now what is the solution? The Son of Man be lifted up, then the serpent will be touched. Did you see that? So don't reduce it to a mere interpretation. I mean, I don't want to use the word mere. So interpretation alone. It's both an interpretation and what? An application. More of an application than an interpretation. So if you understand it that way, right? If you understand it that way, you even get to, I said something to us when I was teaching us supernatural help. I said something to us that when the mountain, in Hebrew, when the Hebrew wrote about the two mountains, will not come to the mountain that can be touched. Remember what did I explain that mountain that can be touched to be? What did I explain it to be? I said it's not actually Sinai, but it was what happened there. What happened there? Unbelief. That was where they said Moses, we don't want to hear from God again. And I showed us that. Oh, now that was not in that teaching. It was the teaching where I taught you on what is it? Huh? No, it's financial health. There's a teaching about financial health. Huh? There's a teaching I taught you that, okay, tongues yesterday, today, and forever. Tongues. This was on tongues, yeah. So, it was on that thing, because I now listen to it recently. Amen. So, when I said that, is to see unbelief. Right? Unbelief. Now, what the writer of Hebrew is doing was an application. Hear the God. Because as we will see, what we have at Holy Ghost meeting, and what we call what happened in Mount Sinai? This is where I will close. They saw God's glory. They saw God's fire. I do not figure it. The whole congregation saw fire on the mountain. They saw fire. The whole congregation couldn't move. They saw the cloud and they couldn't move. They were suspended. The whole congregation. They saw. Amen. Amen. So what he was doing was to show you that's their action. Yeah, that's why I said we've not come onto Mount Sinai. And was using it to deal with unbelief. Right? We've not come to unbelief, but to faith. Did you see that? Mount Zion. So, I trust the Lord that we'll see. I'm only laying some foundations for us. Right? So, I'll close like this. So, you see why I had to come this way. So, many times, right? Trying to reduce the Old Testament books to figures or what God does or what God does to mere figure poses a serious issue with how we view God. God of the scripture is the same God. I mean, God of the Christians is the same God of the Old Testament book and God of the New Testament. God didn't change. It's the same God. Hallelujah. So let's not reduce. Because the look up here, The writers of the New Testament never resist it. And we're going to see. It's we that are looking at it, looking at an application and calling it an interpretation that is reducing it. But they never did. They never did. Hallelujah. They never did. Glory to God. They never did. They never did. The New Testament is time for grace. And so, people will not experience it. No. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So we say, experience him today in a special way. Don't reduce it to your brain. You're going to experience it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We experience him every day. Bah, every day. Hallelujah. They didn't reduce it. They didn't at all. Glory to God. That's why Peter was in prison. An angel came to visit. Hallelujah. And he's gone. How is he gone? How? Tell me how. Look at what people now do. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were put into the burning furnace. A fourth man, like the Son of Man, appeared. Say, somebody, I heard someone say, he didn't know that there was a fourth person. So, well, all right. Say, no, it was a symbol of war. What rubbish. Oga, fire became a sea. You don't know? The men that took them, they were burnt. No, how would you then reduce that Daniel was thrown into the dens of lions? Not a lion. And they stayed with them. And the moment he came out and the two other people, they were devoured immediately. And you say, God has changed. Changed to what? Most time we just have a blockade. One way kind of thinking. You know, that those things cannot happen again. I don't understand. Is that? Can you say that? He's God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He still delivers. So he says, no, it's only, and this is where those things lead to. You don't say a miracle. You don't say, salvation. Is that salvation? No! God is a God of miracles. Obey enemy! Miracle! You're not reducing. You know what I'm saying? Does it point to salvation? What does it point to salvation? In your mind, you're doubting it. No! Amen! No, don't doubt. God is the God of miracles. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Now, look at what the world has transcended to be. People now try to work more with their brains than working with God. You want to work with your calculative reasoning first. No, work with God. Hallelujah. Trust God. Even if it's good to use your brain. Hallelujah. But trust God more than your brain. But when your brain is down, that's the power of God that you are left with. So you trust God more than my brain. But it's good to use my brain. You see that? It's a place of the brain. Use your brain, but I trust God more. Amen. I believe in miracles. Even if I can't perform how it's going to happen, I believe in miracles. I believe in the unseen God that is seen and visible to me. I believe in him. Hallelujah. I believe in his power. I believe in his power. Glory to God. Glory to God. You know, we are open for more. Well, this is just an intro that you get to see what we're going to be looking at for the next week. Amen. Amen. We'll get into some other details from next week. Very serious details. But it's just a school of the spirit. Right? You learn something? I think I've been able to give us some little foundation to some things we're going to see in the coming week. I believe so. And it will run through our meeting. Glory to God. Into our meeting. Let's thank the Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Let's just thank the Lord. Okay. I want to tell you something. See, don't try to box me. Okay. Don't get into useless, stupid argument. I love what a brother shared with us last 2 weeks. I was in his convention. That was a wonderful brother, but Popo. He said he preferred, if I had become a household name, instead of Pastor Popo, like, we'd not call him Bro Popo. I was even surprised that even Pastor Shego called him Bro Popo in his meeting. So he said something, and I love it. He said, many times we try to bring in unnecessary arguments, like, and I'm still going to talk about it in this series, like, I'm going to use this word because it's true. Now, like, who killed the Egyptian in the Red Sea? I've heard several, but whatever, to that. Remember, during our teaching on Revelation of God, I said, you cannot exempt God, right? Totally from the events of the Old Testament. You cannot, don't exempt God. You say, did God really kill? Does God kill? So who then killed the children of Egypt in the Red Sea? If you ask me, now who I go ask? But is that not God? Liquid, I mean, no, he's not liquid better. What's his name? No, you. Yes, Signet said it is faith. No, they didn't believe in the faith of, I don't know what he said, but he was reading the writer of Hebrews, actually. But what, remember, if you don't understand, the writer of Hebrews was interpreting, I mean, was applying by hindsight. I'm going to take us through hindsight a bit by next week, right? By hindsight, right? You now discover that, oh, that will only suffice when I'm looking at it today, right? But in their world, who actually killed them? And he gave an example. I love that example. I love it. I love it so much that I said I was going to write it on my notepad, screenshot it, and send back to him. I said, Pastor, this word is on Krista. Now, here's what he said. He said, if you are the, let me use, because we are cast. No, let me leave you. This is a gentle cast. Why are you still recording it? Okay, don't worry. That you are, if you are gentle, you are really a gentle car. Let me look for, okay, this thing, yes, this thing looks like a real car. Cast means chief of staff. He's chief of staff, commander in chief of the armed forces. This thing, no, he looks like it. He looks like them. So, you don't have a son. And the son was kidnapped by, let me use somebody here. Apostle and kidnapped the son. Now I didn't call your name. Now when I say pastor, are you prophesying? I just said apostle. Apostle can be anybody. Apostle and kidnapped your son. Him and this guy, open your eyes, and this sister, they kidnapped, connive and kidnapped your son. Right? Kidnapped your son. And then you have all the military might. And let's say the military, you have all the boys' brigade might to unleash terror. Right? They kidnap your son. Will you say, and then I say, if you don't provide that, they're going to kill your son. They will kill your son. Will you say, no, I'm a man of God. Go and kill the son. We'll make another child. Sister Salo, don't worry. We'll make another child. With that one, you will do. Or you just call. When you call, you say, see, you know what? Do your work. We'll have another child. Oh yeah, come here. Come here like that. Come here. Will you sit down? Will you sit down and say, don't worry, we would make another child. Because what they're saying is that when they kill this one, you make another child, they will kidnap again. Right? So what will you do? You don't send soldiers and say, just go there, take my son. Right? And don't touch them. Just touch them. If we say don't touch them, there's any tendency to that, they'll come back again. Right? Praise the Lord. Plus the fact that now imagine, you now deliver your own child. Would you just allow them go, miscreant. Within the boasting that you are, we allow them just go. That's the word. You will clear them so that next time when they see children and they see kidnapped, they will run. Right? Now imagine you now deliver your child and you are going. They now came after you and your child. When you are done with them, right? So therefore, stop. You go back. I love this. Go back to see how other interpreters, other commentaries about that event, what did they say? David had at least four commentaries on that event, and others that had commentaries about that event. They all said, God drowned them. God dealt with them. Now, Egypt had gods. Right? So, all those plagues, I told you during Revelation of God that God was dealing all those plagues. They had gods for all those plagues. So, God dealt with all the gods of Egypt. The last god in Egypt that God dealt with was Pharaoh. The Pharaoh was a god. Amen. Pharaoh was a god. We're going to deal with that. Pharaoh himself was a god. So God had to deal with him and dealt with him on the Red Sea. God was someone. See him. Say you saw free land. Don't enter free land. Enter now. Say your problem is to run. You have horse. Enter. And he died. God dealt with them. You know, it was not God that dealt with them. Okay, who closed the Red Sea? You know, it was God opened it, right? Well, you said that closed it. You that you are Moses. Okay, let's say you are now Moses. And you saw them coming at you again. You know, you leave it up and say, the Lord bless you, come be that. You will close me. Amen. And the Lord did it. Glory to God. So you can't always exonerate God. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. And I say, no, according to Amnesty. Amnesty what? According to Amnesty International, what God did is genocide, stop. We'll go further. Amen. Always understand, I told you guys something, judgment in their world and judgment in our world are not the same. You have to read those things right. It's just a blocked mind. They want to start dragging. God change God in me. Okay, leave that thing. Hallelujah. Amen. The guy that Paul, was it Paul or Peter? So it was Paul that spoke. The sorcerer that Paul spoke to that he should be blind for a season. Was it God that made him blind? No, he's devil. Have he? So Paul summoned Satan to come and blind his eyes. Stop talking rubbish. Amen. Pardon. Pardon. Amen. So we are children of God. So when you hear, I'm a child of God. Tabasco. Once I'm a child of God, and then you're now feeling down. I'm a child of God. See, we need to get back to understand these things again. Amen. Amen. I'm a child of God. I'm a child of the living God. Hallelujah! I love that one. I say, who can battle with the Lord? Nobody can. Go and ask everybody who tried it. You can't. So I'm a child of that God. No. Don't say who can battle with the Lord. Actually, can you battle with the Lord? Amen. Somebody says battle last. God is battle last. Amen. Amen. Who can battle with the Lord? Actually, who can? Nobody. What's the beer that? Try. Amen. Amen. Jesus said to that rich man, say the Lord said, tonight your soul is required of me. Who said it? Is it the devil? Amen. Is it the devil that said it? I serve that God. How are you? Even in difficult situations, when all hope seems lost, I believe in God. I believe in God. I don't care what anyone says. I believe in God. I believe God. I believe God. It's not story. I believe God, and we experience God in our life. In our meetings, we experience God. Hallelujah. Just thank Him. Just thank Him. Just thank Him. Thank Him. Let's take the announcement.